Dear Loving Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this opportunity, from this respite from the world. We pray your good hand upon us this evening. Thank you for loving us and your many helps. And I pray you also for our brethren, wherever it is they might be, especially Pat and Steve, for John and Will, for Christine and Marianne, for Dr. Shang, for Norman too, for Colin, for his life, Lord. I pray just Christine Taylor's on my mind this evening, and I pray, Father, please, that you would work in each one of our lives. We really do need you, Lord. I pray you too for Israel, that you would bless and keep and provision them. Bless all those that want to help them, Lord, that are lifting them up in prayer and putting their shoulder to the grindstone for whatever it is, Lord. And curse all those, Lord, that are against them. We know, Father, that they will win. I pray you, Lord, that they will gloriously, wonderfully, and miraculously win. Thank you for loving us. Thank you, Lord, for provisioning us. I pray you would continue to do so, Lord, please. And whenever you look at us, Lord, I pray that you would find people that are ready, willing, and able to listen and to go and do whatever it is that you have us to do. Thank you for all your many helps, and we love you and praise you. And we ask all this, including our private prayer requests, so, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. I think we'll begin in the wee black book. If anybody has a desire to have a favourite, I will take one after Norman brings us to leave. Number 30 in the wee black book, I Need Jesus.
I need Jesus, my need I not confess, no friend like him in times of distress. I need Jesus, the need I gladly own,
oh, my God.
Change books and turn to 406, 406 in the big books, and your foot will stand as we sing, "Who is on the Lord's side?" Amen.
We are on the Lord's side.
This reading is from the book Galatians, Galatians chapter 5. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you, that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit thee nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised, there is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ has become of no effect unto you. What whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. I have confidence in you through the Lord that ye will be done otherwise minded, but be that troubleth you shall bear judgment of whosoever he be. And I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offence of the cross ceased. I would they ever even cut off which trouble you. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion of the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, that ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. The flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest. Which are these? Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, sedition, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, reveling, and such like, of which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh that with the affection and lust. If ye live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vain glory, provoking one another, and being one another. Amen.
Thank you. Something to watch out for, just to be very humble, is the fruit of the Spirit and the works of the flesh. An interesting contrast. Amen. Does anybody have anything they need to add to the prayer list? You got anything, Ling? Glad to hear that. Anything for you, Norma? Okay, I take it we all still have our private prayer requests. Yeah. Grand job. I think that's really that. Just one, and it might seem like a very minor thing. I had a prayer answered the other day. I had water leaking through the roof in the bathroom, and it happened at night with all the bad rain on, would that have been Monday night?
Sunday night,
Monday morning. And the water was literally dripping down the power line for the shower. What's that? Is that a, it's like a cooker line, isn't it? About 30 or 50 amps or something crazy like that.
Yeah.
So you would be well and truly cooked if the electricity was on. But I just prayed the Lord, Lord, give me 2 hours of good weather. And he gave me 2 hours of good weather, and I had enough time to go up with the heat gun and dry out a little bit of the roof and put tar into a bituminous mastic, and it seems to have sealed the leak. So I am thankful. I should actually put that down. Thankful for the roof repair. Thanks for the good weather. Roof repair. Another thing that was just on my mind. I know there's a lot of people working against most of the population of the world in the media. A month or two back, there was a big fire in Maui. And just to ask for your prayers for the people of Maui, it seems to have completely disappeared off the radar. Ukraine is disappearing off of the radar as well. And there's a lot of attention on Israel at the moment. Just want for you to know that God's promise to bless you if you bless Israel is still in effect. And God's promise or his threat to curse anybody that curses Israel is still in effect. So lift them up in prayer and say and do what you can for them whenever the opportunity arises. And one other thing, I think there is an RSE consultation. This is for school children. They're being taught things like transgenderism and homosexuality and are completely normal when they're not. And this is, they're calling it a mandatory class, but they're not mandatory. It is still up to parents to make sure their children are educated, not the school. And there's a consultation on in the community centre in Irish Street. I think it is at 7 o'clock on Friday. If you can't go, please do spare a prayer for those people that are going there. You have a wicked government, and they're wicked through and through, and it's showing up from time to time in the news. You do not know what's going on behind closed doors, and you're probably better off not knowing. But God knows, and God will sort out all of those individuals. But please do pray for our governments as well. I think that's about that. We'll pray and then we'll take a few requests for hymns. Amen. Heavenly Father, just do thank the Lord for loving us and watching over us. And I pray, Lord, that you would reach down into each one of our hearts, Lord. You know all of our needs. You know our private needs and our public needs. And I pray, Lord, that you would grant them according to your will. I pray for our country and for all the countries of the world, Lord, but I pray especially for Israel at this time for your divine intervention and protection and salvation for them, Lord. Please also, Lord, please grant their private prayer requests. Please be with our absent brethren for Dr. Shang and Frank, for Colin, Will, Christine, Mary Ann, for John and Pat and Steve. And Lord, please look after them. It was good to have Glenn and Helen. I do pray as well for Barry and Louise, for Barry's salvation, Lord. And I pray for
Brian
and Joanna, Lord, for those souls that were in touch over the phone. Father, please broaden the borders of Bethel. I thank you for your provision thus far. I pray you would cleanse us and refresh us, Lord. Be with our sister churches, wherever it is they are in the world. And we ask all this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, Father. Amen. Excuse me. Does anybody have a favourite? You don't have to have one. I have songs picked, but if you have a favourite that you'd like for us all to sing, now would be the time.
34.
34. Jehovah said, can you?
Yeah.
Did we sing that in song?
We sang that in song.
That's no problem. We got one as well, then. You'll have to have one. We're singing number 34 next. There are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. We'll remain seated as we sing.
Thank you.
keep singing that. I might even get delighted. That sounds bad. I don't mean it like that. It doesn't rank up there with
He lifted me.
But it's a powerful salvation song. Amen. Ling, have you got one for us, or do you want to skip that?
319
in the big book. 319. What do you say? In a little while, that gentleman said, Ken, you will be a favorite.
You didn't used to like
him, did you? This is true. Just a closer walk with me. That's okay. Let's stand and sing 319, just a closer walk. Matthew chapter 10 this evening. I want to read it all because it's all quite important, and I hope that is a help to you in Matthew chapter 10. Thank you for taking time out of your week to come and visit together and join us in praise and worship of the Lord. I came across an interesting little Facebook what do you call a Facebook post? There you go. As opposed to a garden post. But that said if you're too busy to pray or too busy to go to church, you're just too busy. So there you go. I'm glad you're here, and I appreciate it. The Word of God says, and when he, that's Jesus, of course, called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Now the names of the 12 apostles are these. The first, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew his brother, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew the publican, James the son of Alphaeus, and Tobias, whose surname was Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and enter into any city, of the Samaritans, enter not. But go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and as you go, preach, saying, kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give. Provide neither gold nor silver nor brass in your purple in your purses, nor scrip for your journey, neither two coats, neither shoes, nor yet sandals. For the workman is worthy of his meat. And into whatsoever city or town you shall enter, inquire who in it is worthy, and there abide till you go thence. And when you come into an house, salute it. And if the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it be not worthy, let your peace return to you. And whosoever shall not receive you nor hear your words, when you depart out of that house or city, shake off the dust of your feet. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils, and they will scourge you in their synagogues. And ye shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. When they deliver you up, take no thought how or what ye shall speak, for it shall be given you in that same hour what ye shall speak. For it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. And the brother shall deliver up the brother to death, and the father the child, and the children shall rise up against their parents, and cause them to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved. When they persecute you in this city, flee you into another. Verily I say unto you, ye shall not have gone over the cities of Israel till the Son of Man be come. The disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. It is enough for the disciple that he be as his master, and the servant as his Lord. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more shall they call them of his household? Fear them not, therefore, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and hid that shall not be known. What I tell you in darkness, that speak ye in light, and what ye hear in the ear, that preach ye upon the housetops. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing, and one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father? Very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. Whosoever, therefore, shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it. And he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. He that receiveth you receiveth me. And he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. Amen. Thank you for your good time. Let's pray briefly and then continue. Heavenly Father, we pray your good hand upon us all as we spend this time in your word. Please help us to find the little nuggets in there that we need at this time. Please, Lord, also I pray that you would bless the teaching and preaching of the whole counsel of your word, wherever it might be found, and the hearers of it too. Thank you, Lord, and we love you. Amen. Amen. There is quite a lot in this portion of God's word. I want to give you mostly a few thoughts on verses 32 and 33. Yep, that's it. 32 and 33. But I want to make a comment on, well, the whole rest of the chapter. So bear with me for just a few minutes. It will not take too long getting through all this. Right up until we get until verse 15, or up until 16, we have a very specific instruction and authority given from God to the apostles. In other words, this was exactly the way the apostles were sent out by Jesus. Go to the Jews, preach the gospel to them. Don't be worrying about a raincoat or a walking stick or a sword or a pile of money to see you like you're as if you were going on holidays. Just go. And as you go, you will find all being well, someone there that will put you up in whatever city you go into. Just stay there, eat whatever's put in front of you. And whenever you land there, it says in one of the other Gospels, let your blessing stay on that house. And if they don't receive you, take your blessing, take your peace, and shake off the very dust off of your feet. As I was reading this in verse 15, there's a very very solemn or sobering comment about even the way people behaved back in these days. You're going back 2,000 years. The days of Sodom and Gomorrah were probably around about 1,000 years before that. And God said for these two cities, Sodom and Gomorrah, whose names have become synonymous with the grossest of sexual practices, it would be easier for them in judgment than for these people that had Jesus and his teachings right in their face. It would be more tolerable for them. And that's saying something. For people that weren't that wicked, but that had Jesus talk of them, Jesus in their very presence. Worth remembering. Specific instructions to the apostles. But as we go on, we see a little bit of prophecy taking place. We can read on there, and verse 23 tells us about the dispersal of Israel whenever the Antichrist comes and sets himself up, as God in the Temple on the Mount. It actually gives us a specific thing. Whenever they come after you, he is saying to the Jews, run from city to city. You'll not have gone over all the cities of Israel until Jesus Christ comes. So it must take about three and a half years for that to happen. But God gives a little bit of advice. In verse number 16, he says, I'm sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. And let's be honest, as we go out into the world today, people are becoming more and more fierce. Their whole lives are built upon fear, either living in it or producing it in the hearts of other people, so people are afraid. But God said, be smart about it. If you lack wisdom, by the way, it says in the book of James, ask of God. And he gives to all men liberally. And he doesn't say you're too smart. He says, I want you as smart as possible. Be as wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove. Use your head, your knowledge of the scriptures, and use that to reach people, to speak to people. Unfortunately, there are these general instructions, these warnings, these promises and helps are many times overlooked by those that claim to be in Christian service. We should take them to heart. It says, first of all, you need to be prepared. I'm not going to stand here and tell you the Christian life is an easy one. You know it's not easy. The whole world is going one way and they seem to be living high off the hog and getting away with everything, and we're going in a different direction. And so many times it is a very abrasive way of living. I'm going to give you who you'll probably end up in trouble with if you live for God. You're going to be in trouble with religious leaders. You're going to be in trouble, that's what I say, with religious leaders. And that's probably exactly what they are, religious leaders. You're going to be in trouble with secular leaders. You're going to be in trouble with kings, it says, and governors. You're talking about not just local leaders, but national leaders. And as you scoot on towards the end of this portion of God's word, the last six or seven verses, you're going to be in trouble even with your own friends and family. And I want to tell you, it's not that you are out causing trouble. Verse 34 tells us exactly the way that this is. Think not that I am come to bring peace. I am not come to bring peace, but a sword. Now, God doesn't say go out and cause trouble. In fact, he says quite the opposite. He says, if it's at all possible, live peaceably with all men. But the sheer fact that you and I, accept Christ as our Savior and live our lives for Christ in a way that pleases God means you're going to live your life in a way that rubs other people up the wrong way. Because every day that you go out and live your life, people are going to say, there's that Christian. He's got a smile on his face. He's got an inch to his step. She looks like she's going somewhere and doing something important. I really hate her for that, because why can't she be like everybody else? She is making me feel that the way I am living my life is wrong. And I want for you to understand what's going on in the world today. The world of flesh and the devil is like the unholy Trinity, like just like the beast, the Antichrist, and the false prophet. But in Isaiah 14, it gives you the five I wills of the devil, and the last one is that I will be like the Most High, I'll be a God. And if you are God, well, that's all well and good. Because God can forgive sins, and God can create worlds and galaxies and this, that, and the other. But a lot of people have this in their minds. For instance, one of the great jokes that the devil plays on people right now is that if a man believes he's a woman, then he's a woman. And if a woman believes she's a man, well then she's a man. And people have it in their heads that they are God, and what can God do? Anything. And until you say otherwise, he's able to hold on a second. It doesn't matter if you put lipstick and a dress on a pig, it's still a pig. And you can put lipstick and a dress on a man, it's still a man. And as soon as you say that, you have proved, in fact, what they already know and everybody else already knows. If anyone remembers the story about the emperor's new clothes, the wee fella stood up and said, hold on a wee second, the emperor's in the all together. You burst their bubble. And they will literally do anything to you, about you, just like they did to Jesus, to try and stop you from raising questions about the little universe that exists between their ears. You come on behalf of God to the lost, reminding them of sin and judgment to come, but also of loving kindness and God's forgiveness. And a soul has to not just, they have to face their sins and reject them before God can forgive and save. And the thing about it is, most people have been told in these days and believe it in their heads that I am God Almighty and I can do whatever I like. I don't have to get saved. And they will go to the grave believing that and open their eyes in hell being in torments and realize that their whole lives were wrong and far too late, that they're damned for the endless ages of eternity. And that is why God says, keep your eyes on me. Whole way through here, he says, there's paragraph after paragraph, he says, first of all, you're loved. I know everything about you. I know about the little sparrows. I know the number of hairs on your head. I love you. I've given my life for you. But more than that, whenever you find yourselves in the company of these souls, I'll give you the words to speak. More than that, I will make it so. I will give you the power and the boldness to speak up. I will even take away your fear from you. If you let God work in your heart and life, he says, look, don't be afraid to speak the gospel no matter where. Don't be concerned about not being an eloquent speaker like what I am. Just speak the words that God puts in your mouth, and he will put the right word. He says, I'll speak to you whenever you're in your bed. It'll stick in your head. What you hear in your ear, it says, what I tell you in darkness, speak you in the light, and what you hear in your ear, that preach you upon the housetops. Whatever God gives you to say in those situations, say it. And don't be afraid of them that can kill the body. The Bible says, be more afraid of him that can kill the body and soul in hell fire. We're moving to those days. I recently, and I've shared with Norman, been watching a TV series called A Little Light, which is the Anne Frank story. It's based upon her diaries. My wife ruined it for me the other day. She told me that the whole family was killed except for the husband. It was very, very, very sad, and I felt the same about that. And that's a family 70 years removed, 80 years removed from me now. But it's already started again in Israel and across the world, the way the Jewish people are being treated. We need to be able to stand and not be afraid of what the world's going to say or do, because someday we'll be back in glorified bodies and the shoe will be on the other foot. We'll be telling the world what to do. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to stand and speak for Christ. Because there are souls out there that need to know that God's still about, and he's still in the soul-saving business, and he's still in the business of lifting people out of the muck and the mire and helping them along. I mentioned earlier on about verse 34 where Jesus said, look, I didn't come to bring trouble, but trusting in me makes trouble amongst people that don't trust in me. In fact, it's so good at that, so good at conviction. You see, we have the conviction of the Holy Spirit on one part, and we have the beliefs of the world, the flesh, and the devil on the other. And the conviction of the Holy Spirit and the preaching of the cross will always trump the teachings of the world, the flesh, and the devil. But a lot of these people are very vociferous and get very angry, and you know what they did to the Lord, because their power and their glory and their riches were threatened. Hard times will come your way when you stand for Christ. Please do not be afraid to stand for Christ. He has what I see is the fix. In verses 32 and 33. It says, whosoever therefore shall confess me before man, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. One of the great difficulties, one of the great reasons in this day and age why many Christians are living empty lives that never hear from God, that never have a prayer answered, is because they're not working for God. They're like a disobedient child. And like anybody that is disobedient, I'm going to tell you, right from the people that are out causing trouble in the world, right the way down to little children and people's families, if the people in charge reward bad behavior, all you're going to get is bad behavior. Like so many of the criminals over in America that can walk into a store and walk out unchallenged with $1,000 worth of merchandise because nothing will happen if you steal under $1,000, but many of them steal much, much more. That's a reward for bad behavior. I did see a very funny security clip of a guy trying to run out of a store with a basket full of stuff, and one of the shopkeepers threw a bottle of Coke at him and nailed him on the head and knocked him out cold. If that happened when people were running out with stuff, they would say, you know what? You can only take so many concussions before brain damage. I'm not going to do that anymore. In fact, even better, I will go back and apologize, and I will ask the guy for a job, and I'll be faithful. And I'll get the money, and I can get it honestly. If you were to go around cursing and swearing and drinking and sleeping around the country and lying and cheating and stealing, God is not going to bless you. In fact, God is going to take you behind the woodshed and tan your behind for you, maybe even unto death, if you continually rebel against them and disobey. I know it's very easy to say, here we are sitting in church, and I know there are people that are out in pubs and nightclubs, or they're just come in from a day's work and they're sitting having their tea and they're watching the TV with their feet up in front of the fire. It's nice to be able to do that. And we think we're doing not too bad, because it actually does make us look good. But we shouldn't get to just comparing ourselves against other people. We need to compare our lives against the Word of God and consider how it is we're doing. And if we were to do that honestly, I think we would see that we fall a bit short. So if you do, do something about it. Get back on your hands and knees. Get back in the Word of God. Listen for what when God talks to you. And whenever God does answer a prayer, thank Him and leave yourself open for the next one. But we need to know. Do you see all the promises that are in the Bible for you and I right now? That the angels are ministering spirits sent to minister to those that will be heirs of salvation. That's written in the Bible, and I believe it. You need to know that Jesus, even now, sits at the right hand of our Heavenly Father, interceding on our behalf when the accuser of the brethren comes pointing his finger justly and rightly at us for our wrongdoing. You need to know that whenever you are on the spot and you're challenged about your Christianity, God will give you the words to speak. Those things are great. I can't think of anything else just right off the top of my head, but let me put it like this. Our Father in heaven wants to give us all good things. But we need to be good children. We need to be doing what He asks us to do. He is not going to, in quotes, treat us if we are not obeying Him. All of His helps and promises and provisions are found whenever we're doing what God asks us to do. And that's it. It's not a works salvation, it is a works life. Salvation is free, forever and sure, because Jesus paid for it all. But your Christian life is entirely down to you. When you see someone living for the Lord and they're striving ahead, it's not because God loves them any better than you or I. It's because that person loves God more than you or I. We need to consider that when we read our Bible and get into prayer with God Almighty. We don't like this thought of obedience and sacrifice and service. That's for servants. We don't like being told what to do. Is it any wonder the army has so much difficulty getting people to join it? I was reading in Isaiah 9 or 10, which one was it this morning? 9. And there was a verse in it that talked about there being no joy in the world. I think it was in Jewry at the time of Isaiah. The people only had joy in things that they could get. The Bible talked about in men making spoil and war and taking stuff that they were getting for nothing. There was no joy in God. There was only joy in stuff. It was like a novelty factor that soon wore off. And that's the way a lot of people are right now, Christians included, because we will not be stiff-necked and we're rebellious people. God won't reward that. Prayers will go unanswered. Strength and boldness will be at an all-time low. But just like Norman was reading there in Galatians chapter 5, Christians should be different. The fruit of the Spirit should be love, joy, peace, long-suffering, meekness, temperance, faith. I think there's one or other in there as well. That's the way we should be. And instead of the things that make us feel good, we should do good. We should seek after God. As we sit in here today, or stand, and I look around the hall, I get a bit of a thrill, and I'm sure Norman does too, at all of the work that we completed and did, and how everything for them. Most days, just the way we like it to. Because we put effort into that, and we enjoy the fruits of our labors. It is a very, very odd thing that is the way we are built. We enjoy the completion of our labors. Whether we get to enjoy it directly by being here or knowing that other people are getting to worship God or whatever it is, or we got paid for it and someone's enjoying the work. That's the way we are. And if we do not confess God before men, and people say, are you a Christian? Yes, I am. God saved me and I'm on my way to heaven. Not because I'm good, but because Jesus is good. You know what Jesus is going to do in heaven? This is quite literally what the Bible says. Jesus is going to go, Father, he needs another couple of angels to help him. Father, he needs that goodwill. Father, he needs. That's literally what Jesus said happened for the Christian that's serving him. And I know sometimes it seems like hard work. I know. But I'm going to finish with Matthew 11. It's a funny thing, but this is the second message, and I think maybe 3 or 4 messages. This is where God said, Jesus said to us, he said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. In other words, there's a lot of people doing a lot of stuff, but it's not getting them anywhere. This is the recipe. Take my yoke upon you, Jesus said. Learn of me. And learn that I am meek and lowly in heart, and you will find rest unto your soul. I'm not here to conquer you, I'm here to save you and to help you. And he says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. It's perfectly fitted for you. And whenever you do that, you will find that it is not so much a burden, but it's more of an uplifting and an inspiration. you do God's will, and you will see God's hand in your life. And do you know what, friends? I think we need it. We need to see God's hand in our lives. We need to experience that in our lives. To know that and to show that God is real and that you can trust him as your Savior. I'm stopping there. Thank you for your good time. I see it's about 8:10. This is Brad. What do you guys think? Have you got a hymn that you would like for us to sing?
Do we know 311?
311. Let's just see. If anybody gets there before me and says yes, that's it. All for Jesus.
Is it in the music machine?
Is it in the music machine? Well,
see if it's the right tune.
Okay, I'm going to trust you in this. I didn't know it. Let's stand and sing 311, All for Jesus, in the verses. Things we have in front of us, Lord, I pray that you would go before us, that you would fight our many battles. Lord, most of all, please look after Israel at this time. Please come quickly. And let me praise you. And we ask it all in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Folks, God bless you. Shake hands and fellowship.